following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Matters of the Heart, a study through the book of 2 Corinthians. More information about this study is available at www.refugefamily.com.
Get into your word. Father, we just love you so much, and we're so thankful, Lord, for this chapter. We're so thankful for this reminder, Lord, of not living just in the past, but living now, letting our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify you in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for just the blessing of being in your word. I thank you, Lord, for this Bible. I thank you, Father, that I can page through it and on the plane, just being able to read through there and not be distracted by anything. And just, Lord, I just thank you so much for this. I thank you so much. Help us to hear from you today. Help us to be aware that your Holy Spirit is here and that you are ministering to each one of us individually. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so you want to know about our trip to us? Why do I want to call it Australia all the time? To Israel. And it was a great trip. Everything was fabulous about it. And the only thing that I could say that was could have been a challenge was, Sony, was it the first 3 days that we had the rain? It was the first 3 days. And those were the days where we were out amongst everything, you know, out in the wilderness sort of thing, traipsing through there, and down comes the rain, and here we are at this place, this aviary, and we got into the building that they had there that you could go upstairs and you could see all around there, and we're protected from this torrent of rain that day. It was just incredible. The miracles that happened along the way with that particular thing, there were some things we didn't get to see the whole of everything that was there because it was too muddy. We could only go this far. But you know what? The Lord used that to help us remember it has to rain on somebody. You know, it is not all about me. It's not all about my trip. It is about the country. It's about the state of Israel and so forth, and getting to see all of that. So it was a great time, and we all got to know each other a lot better, and Sony and I got to know each other a whole lot better. And is there anyone else here that went on the trip? I don't see anyone else. Okay. So we got to make new friends and get to know each other better. So here we are in chapter 12 of the book of 2 Corinthians, and we begin with chapter 12, actually, and we're going to start with verse 1. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. The first thing that he is saying is, I know that it's not important for me to boast. I know that I shouldn't be boasting, but look what you guys are doing. You're putting me in a position. So I'm going to boast about the things that the Lord has given me to boast about. And he says, I will come to the visions and revelations. Why is he talking about that? He's talking about the visions and the revelations because that's what the false prophets were talking about. They were all talking about these wonderful things that they'd seen, the miracles, the da-da-da-da-da-da, on and on about these wonderful experiences. And here, Paul, 14 years before, had this happen, and nobody heard about it. Nobody up to this point had heard about what had happened to him 14 years ago. Now, how is that? That in our lives, very often, and you see on TV, you see people traveling around telling their whole story about, oh, this wonderful thing happened, and la, 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 and it becomes who they are, and it draws attention to who? It draws attention to them and not to the Lord. And although they would say, oh, yes, and God gets all the glory, but I'm getting all the money and I'm getting all of the whatever for it. So anyway, he has kept it to himself because he knew this was something between God and me. You know, there are going to be times, ladies, when the Lord is going to give you a word in your time of prayer where you are sitting before his feet, sitting at his feet before him, and he's going to tell you something, and your first response might be, oh, I got to tell everybody that. And then he says to you, no, this is just between you and me. And oh, we want to tell everybody what God is. Oh, no, God told me this. No, this is between you and me. I'll let you know when and if it's time to say anything about it. So there will be times that we don't have to speak all that we know, all that God has told us, because sometimes he just tells us things that are just between him and us. And so, so the revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ, verse 2, who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And so he's not even saying, he says, I know this a man. And I'm convinced that the reason that he said, I know this other man, this particular person, because it's not him anymore. He did know that man. But when this particular instance happened to him, he was changed. And he was no longer that man. He knew that man 14 years ago, but now he is a different person. And I personally believe, this is my own opinion, I did run it across before Bill. I personally believe that Paul died at that time of that stoning, and that God raised him during that time. It says that such a one was caught up to the third heaven. That's why I believe it. The third heaven is that place where God dwells. The first is the atmosphere where the birds fly. The second is where the sun and the moon and the stars are, the second heaven. But the place where God dwells is the third place. And when it's translated, it is translated paradise. And when he says, I was caught up to the third heaven, remember when Jesus spoke to the man on the cross, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. That means that that man was dying physically and would be with him in paradise. And so that's my personal belief on that. And so that's where he was caught up to. And that's why he was, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. I don't know. All I know is that this man was caught up to the third heaven. And it was, I believe it is chapter 11 of Acts that talks about that particular stoning. I might be incorrect on that. I don't have it in my notes. And I know such a man, verse 3, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of that one, that's the one I'm going to boast about. The one that came back from that. That's the one I will boast about. But he goes on, I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Here he is. He has a story. Now this is a story. He can't even talk about it. He can't even express it. It would be criminal, he says, to even try to express what I've seen, what this man saw. Couldn't even express it. He has a story. How many of us, when we give our testimony, tell everything about that person that was and this much about the person that is? You see what Paul's doing here? He's saying this much about the person that was and all of this about the person that is after he was born again. And here he is, he's speaking the truth. He says, I will speak the truth. And it's not about me, it's about him. It's about God, it's about Jesus Christ. It's all about him. But I want you guys to know, I don't want you to be fooled by these false prophets. I don't want you to be fooled by these gods that you are worshiping right now. Because there in Corinth, you could do anything you wanted to do as long as you said you were worshiping. So you could have as many sexual partners as you want to, as long as you're worshiping this God. You can do all of these things as long as you're worshiping this God. You can offer up your children to be burned as long as you're worshiping this God. All of this was going on. But he says, I'll speak the truth to you. I will speak the truth to you. Verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. And what was this messenger of Satan? We don't know. We don't really know what it is, but I have an idea. One of the things was they thought maybe he had malaria. One of the commentators, many of the commentators says he had eye problems, and that indicated that's why he said in Acts or in one of the books, this is why I've written in such big letters and stuff. Personally, it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Could it have been a person that was just, you know those people. You have them in your life. We all have them in our life. There's that one person. And sometimes there's more than one. But that one person that is a constant. And you go, oh, can I turn the other way? Can I go on the other side of the street? Oh, I think they saw me already. Okay. Oh, hi. Yeah, no. We don't do that, do we? Because we are. But I personally think, what was the thing that brought Satan down? It was pride. And I personally think, because of the way that this is written, that it was pride that constantly buffeted him. It could have been the things from the stonings. It could have been residuals from what happened with that he was in pain all the time, that kept him humble. But I think that there was that constant reminder from Satan, you went up third heaven. Not many people have done that. You're pretty special. Don't you think you're pretty special? And I think Paul had to be constantly on the guard. And all of us need to be constantly on the guard that the things that God has done in our lives, that he gets the glory and not I get the glory. So that's my personal opinion. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Three times I prayed and that it would depart from me. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. There is nothing like a disappointment, a sorrow, pain, discouragement, to be buffeted by these things. There's nothing like that will really bring me down to my knees. When I'm in those situations, where do I go? My first response is, well, I have nothing else to do but pray. Well, that should be the first thing I have to do, is pray and seek the Lord about it. And it says that he prayed for three times. And now, is that saying that we pray for three times and then we give it up? No. We pray and we keep praying. We ask, we keep asking. We knock, we keep knocking. We seek, we keep seeking. But sometimes God says, after a certain point, he says this to us. And all of us have had that situation, I'm sure. All of us have had that situation where God has said, on this issue, I remember someone particularly who I prayed for. People were being healed. I don't know how, I know that God was doing it, but as I prayed for her, that God spoke to me, and he said, not right now. Do you know how hard it was to say to her, not right now? That's what God told me to say. And so that was her word for that. But you know what the encouragement was in that word was, not now, which gives us hope for another time. God will never leave us hopeless. He will always give us something more to hang on to. But here Paul prayed three times and God gave him a word and he said, my grace is sufficient for you. God's riches at Christ's expense, that's sufficient for me as well. But I will continue to pray about the things that are on my heart. I will continue to pray about my nation. I will continue to pray for the people that I love. I will continue to pray for you guys. I will continue to pray on the things that the Lord tells me to pray about until he tells me, this is what it is right here, right now. So, my grace is sufficient for you because his strength is made perfect in my weakness. In my weakness, you've been to places, you've seen people, they've gone through stuff, they've gone through tough stuff, and you just go, I could never do that. You're walking through it with them, and you're falling apart because of the pain or the suffering that they're going through. And you're just like, how are they doing it? And they're going, I'm so excited about it. I'm alive today. You know, what's her name? Just passed away, Midge. I mean, she was always, Midge was excited about what this moment held. And those of us who were praying for her, talking to her and stuff, most of us were like, I couldn't ever do it. Well, God hasn't called me to do it. He called her to do it. And so she had the grace to go through it. I didn't have the grace for her pain. Does that make sense? And so I carry someone else's burden, but I can only carry it and then pass it on to the Lord because I don't have the grace to carry it. They have the grace to carry it. Okay, so my grace is sufficient for you because I am my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I boast in my infirmities so that people can see Jesus Christ at work in my life. And note here as we go on to verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Excuse me? Did I read that right? I take pleasure in infirmities, but let's go on. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. We can be persecuted simply because we're obnoxious, right? We can have things happen to us simply because it was an act of reproaches. We can have that against us just because we're a pain to somebody. But for Christ's sake, if it is for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong, because I'm strong in Christ's strength. I'm strong in his strength. I have his grace upon me. I've become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me. You made me do this. I didn't want to talk about this stuff, but you have forced me to do it. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. I want you guys to know, he's reminding them, you know what? Signs and wonders went on when I was there. Do you recall? Do you recall that people were looking to me and seeing God do things in my life and in your life because I was there? Do you realize that I am as good as they are? Although I know of myself, I am nothing. Because of myself without Jesus Christ, I am absolutely nothing. I have no strength. I have no courage. I have no nothing. I'm a coward. Without Christ, I am nothing. He is all. Verse 12, truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And this is what the other guys were doing. For what is it in which you were inferior to other churches except that I myself wasn't a burden to you? Excuse me. That is what he's saying. I can't believe that you guys are upset about this. The only thing that you didn't get that other churches got, they took me in, they gave me a place to stay, I let them take care of me, but I didn't require it of you. I am sorry that I didn't ask you for anything. And there they were in that place, worshiping other gods. Forgive me this wrong. Now for the third time, I am ready to come to you. And this time, I'm not going to be burdensome to you either. So there you go. Nay, 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 nay. And so, for I do not seek yours, but I seek you. That's what the words of Jesus Christ say to us. I'm not seeking what's yours. I seek you. I want you. Well, but God, I do all these things for you, and I'm here, and I'm there, and you know, God says, I don't care. I really don't care about your stuff. I really don't care about those things. I care about you. And Paul, showing the love of Jesus Christ, he said, I don't seek what's yours. I want you to know I haven't asked anything from you because I'm not seeking what's yours. I'm seeking your soul. And make no mistake, Satan wants your soul. And there is a battle going on for our souls. Those of us who have given our lives to Christ, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, stay close. Stay close, because there is no eternal guarantee. I'm with Chuck Smith on once saved, always saved, unless you fall away. And I think that that is an honest truth. I am confident in my salvation in Christ. I have no guarantees if I turn my back on him. I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. So I'm going to stick close. Okay? For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And here he's saying, I feel like your dad. I feel like your parent. I have birthed some of you into the kingdom of God. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. What is it about us? People, what is it about us that we find somebody who will, we ran into this a lot when we were in Australia. Someone new comes in and you just look at them. And there were times I would look at some of these people that came in and you could just see the pride. You could just see the arrogance. You could just see that they were just drawing people to themselves, not to Christ, but to themselves. But they were using the name of the Lord, and people would just flock there. There'd be drawn in. Oh, I love you, love you, love you. Oh, he's a wonderful person. But the one who will lay down his life for them, yeah, okay, yeah, I know you're around. And they take for granted ones who will lay down their lives. Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends. He laid down his life for us. And how many in the world, how many people who call themselves Christians even today, not in this room, I know, but in this United States, people who've called themselves Christians who will not live the Christian life. When you are praying, pray for those people, that they would have the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they would be clear about their decisions that they are making in our country. But be that as it may, he says in verse 16, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. I wasn't crafty with you. I just was who God made me to be. I didn't have to use all of these schemes, all of these little, you know, cutting edge everything to get you there. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus, and I sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Weren't we people who all of us are walking in the same direction? We're all going the same way. Be of one mind in Christ, it says. We were all of one mind, like-minded. We had the same agenda. Let's bring souls to Christ. That's our agenda. That's what we want to do. Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. We have laid down our lives for you. We have put our lives on the line. We have been in jail for you. We have been in these places for you. It is all about you, he says. This is not about drawing attention to me. This is about you and your walk with the Lord. His love for them was the same love that Jesus Christ has for the church. So much so that he would lay down his life. For I fear, verse 20, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. They are about to see a side of Paul that they've not seen before. Lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults. What is that list? There was a time when people said, you have a demon of jealousies, you have a demon of contentions, you have a demon of wrath, you have a demon of backbitings, you have a demon of whisperings. That is not the case. These are in the list of the works of the flesh. What are we to do of the works of the flesh? We cannot cast out the works of the flesh. We have to put them off. Put them off. Put off wrath. Put off jealousies. Put off contentions. Put off backbiting. Put off conceits. Put off those tumults. We have a decision to be made. And it happened to me when I was in Israel this time. There was something going on, and I was really, in my mind, I was... You've done that, haven't you? You've carried on this whole conversation with somebody who is not even a part of it, but and you have all of your words made up. You have all, oh, I should have said, I could have said, I'm gonna say, and you just get it all worked up. And God spoke to me, and he said, you know, you don't have to feel that way. Yep, I don't. I can put that off, and I can walk in Christ. I can walk in the peace that he gives. yeah, I don't like that situation. I still don't like that situation. But that doesn't have anything to do with it. What it has to do with is, who am I in Christ? And will I do what he's told me to do? Will I walk in that truth? Will I have that peace that surpasses all understanding, that would keep my heart and my mind in him, Christ Jesus, because I put off those things that he told me to be done with? Lest, verse 21, when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, the fornication, and lewdness which they have, keyword, practiced. We put off these things and we repent of them. Not going to do it anymore. But there were some, and many, it appears to be, who looked at those things and practiced them. Did them over and over and over. They might have said to God, oh, I'm sorry I did that. But they did not repent. What does repent mean? It means to turn away, to make that complete turn away, turn around, go the other direction, walk away from it. Don't be a part of it. That's what repentance is. But these, many of them, again, adding to the list of the works of the flesh, fornication, lewdness, all of those things, said, I fear that I will find some of you still walking in those same things, even though you know the truth. And I know that will never be said of anyone that's in this room, because we know how to repent. We know how to go before God. We know how to say to him, God, would you forgive me for that? And help me to turn my back on it. Help me to walk away from it. Remember the story of the man who came every week and said, I just get caught up in this web. I just get caught up in this web. I just get caught up in this web. Please pray for me. I get caught up in this web. And the pastor told him, honey, you just need to kill the spider so that that web is not created. Repent. That's what repentance is. Kill the spider so that you don't get caught up in it again. And so, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for your presence amongst us, your love for us. Lord, that there are amongst us teachers and leaders who would lay down their lives for us. Lord, help us to be aware that we can be that same person for someone else, that we would lay down our lives for a friend, for someone to come to know you, Lord. That we wouldn't blow our own horn and say how great we are and how wonderful we are, and please look at me, look at me, look at me. But Lord, that we would direct them, look at Jesus, look at Jesus, look at Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We do pray for our nation, Lord. We pray for Greg Laurie, that he would be able to stand strong in the midst of all of this. We pray, Father, that the enemy would not win in this one. We pray, God, against the works of the enemy that wants to rob, kill, and destroy, and, Father, to take over our nation, even in the areas of prayer. Lord, the attack is on, and we are very aware of it. Help us to stand in the gap for one another, Lord. Remind us to continue to pray for Greg as he makes his trip there and as he just cover him, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would give him strength and courage beyond what he's ever known. Lord, that he would stand strong and that you would, just even getting a picture of the way that the angels came to Daniel, Lord, when they said that they'd been fighting for 3 days to get there, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for that. It's 3 days away, isn't it? 2 days. Okay. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence with us. Thank you for your love for us, and help us to walk in your ways, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up.
has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.